Well, Jay just gave my whole talk, so thank you. I'll try to expand on it just a little bit. Years ago, I was in ministerial school, and I took a class called homiletics. And you all know what a homily is, right? It's a lecture, a talk, a sermon. And my teacher was Dr. Mark Vieira. He's a great guy, and I learned a lot from him. And one thing that he strongly suggested that we don't do was to disclose too much about ourselves when we're doing a talk, kind of like Reverend Bonnie talks to us about healthy boundaries, that sort of thing. But today, I'm not going to heed his sage advice, because I have a share. Over the last 2 years, I have developed a condition that is wreaking a little bit of havoc with my body. My mother's got the same condition. Hers is more advanced, so maybe there's a little genetic element to it. What the nurses at the hospice that I work for call it is TMB, or too many birthdays. I don't know, maybe some of you are such afflicted. Yeah. Like everything that life hands us, there's always the good that goes along with what we judge not so good, and this is a case in point. For example, I mean, people who are a little bit older do have some loss of functioning. For example, I can no longer lift as much as I used to. I get aches and pains, especially when I don't take real good care of myself, and sometimes when I do take real good care of myself, I get aches and pains. My eyesight is a little bit fuzzy, like, you know, Monet was last week we talked about. And gravity has become very efficient in my life. And I forget things, which is why I have notes, because I'm just like, oh, you're going to get up there and forget everything that you wrote about and say something stupid, so just deal with it. Write notes. So that's what I do. So in researching this topic, I ran across a story of a woman named Betty. I'm calling her Betty. I don't know what her real name is, but Betty is, I mean, everybody in their, all women in their 90s are named some version of Betty if they're not called Mary. But anyway, Betty was great. She was being interviewed for something or other, and I loved her opening line. She stood up with a little bit of swagger and said, "Hi, my name is Betty, and I'm 92 years old, and I'm just getting started." Well, I was intrigued. I was intrigued. Do, Betty, tell me more about just getting started. And she quoted scripture. And I'm not a big scripture person, so I had to look it up, but it really is scripture. It's from Corinthians. And it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day by day." I thought that was pretty profound. So then I had to look up what Ernest Holmes had to say about old age, because Dr. Mark says we always have to quote Ernest Holmes, our founder, in every talk. So. And he was equally as profound. He said, "Man is birthless, deathless, ageless spirit. Life cannot grow old. Treat to know that love is stronger than any force in the universe, and that steadily and rhythmically the life of God is pulsing through your body. Persistently know the truth that God's life flows ceaselessly out through your body and back to Him, where it is renewed, purified, and refreshed. And the pulsing power of divine love propels it." And so it is. So what does it mean to be renewed? What would renewal look like? Now, I know at the level of the physical, some of us in this room have renewed knees and hips and other joints. Bernie's back there clapping. And I'm so grateful for that technology that we don't have to go through the rest of our lives in chronic pain. How good is that? But that's not what I'm talking about today. And I'm not going to diminish or spiritually bypass the real pain that sometimes people can feel in as they get older. And this pain can be physical, it can be mental, it can be spiritual. There really is such a thing as spiritual distress. That's why I have the job that I have. But I'm not talking about that today. Nor am I talking about how we can heal our bodies with great diet and exercise and prayer. All of that is true, but that's another talk for another time, or maybe a workshop. The emphasis of this talk today is about how we transform by the renewal of our minds, even through difficulties, maybe especially through difficulties. There's been a few recent studies lately, and they confirm, yes, no surprise, that people who are over 65 do have a loss of function. However, they are also much more likely to have love in their life. They have an increased sense of fulfillment and of confidence. They are less likely to have depression and anxiety, are less focused on accumulation of possessions, and of course there's wisdom in old age. These are the folks that used to be the village elders, the people that we would go to for counsel, to bless our unions, to bless our children. These are the ones who have had the experiences already. These are the ones who know stuff. And while I was doing this research, the third force, the law of three, kept coming up in my mind. I mean, what if we took the wasting away in one hand and the well-being in the other hand and invited reconciliation into the mix? Could we come up with something completely new and different about the ideas of old age? I think we can. I think reconciliation is renewal, or maybe it causes renewal. So I work with people who are at the end of their lives, and my goal is not to ask them about what a good death is. My goal is to ask them about what a good life is. So I ask them a lot of questions. I ask, what's important to you right now? What makes life worth living to you? What enables your well-being? What qualities of life do you look for if you can't have everything you want? What does a good day look like to you? Because I've heard it said over and over again that how we live our days is how we live our lives. And again, there were a few surprises. They want what everybody at every age pretty much wants. They want to be comfortable. They want respect. They want to be heard. They want connection, and they want a legacy. They want to know that their life has mattered and that they will be remembered. So I ask my questions and I listen, as Rachel Naomi Remen says, generously. Practitioners? Yes. The answers, of course, are as individual as we all are. John. Now, we have Hippie here, so his name is not really John, it's just John. John wants dogs in his life. I've been visiting with John for probably the past 9 months, about every week. He is a large man. He is bedbound. He can barely move. And every week I walk into his room and I say, "Hi, John, how are you doing?" He says, "Did you bring me a dog?" And I said, "John, I don't have a dog. I'm not the dog lady. I'm the God lady." And he says, "I'd rather have a dog." And then the next thing he said is, "Did you bring containers so that you can take my lunch to your chickens?" And I say every week, "John, I don't have chickens." And he looks at me and he goes, "Oh yeah, you're the one that makes me cry." I go, "Yeah, that's me." That's me. John loves animals, all animals. Whenever I ask him what he would like prayer for, it's to keep all of the animals safe. Animals renew and sustain John. I was there one time when the Humane Society ladies brought dogs in. They bring dogs into this facility once a week for the for all of the elders, and it's just a beautiful thing to see. And John was laying in his bed, and these two dogs came in, and they had these slobbery tennis balls in their mouths, and they would they would take turns putting a ball in John's hand, and John would throw it as far. Now, he's in a hospital room. This is not a large space, but he'd throw it, and the dogs would get so excited, and they'd run, and they'd pick it up, and they would do this over and over and over again until both of them were all worn out. It was a lovely thing to see. This is renewal. This is renewal for John. Animals in nature are often described as sources of pleasure and well-being. One woman wants to wake up every morning with her cat purring by her side. That's a good day for her. Another enjoys, he has a ritual about going and filling up the bird feeder outside his window so that he can spend the day watching the birds and the squirrels feeding. That's a good day for him. Others want different things in their life. One woman I know wants quiet so that she can read and pray and contemplate. Yet another says, I'm grateful I'm my age and at my stage because I can eat anything I want. And I want pancakes with maple syrup. He probably can eat two bites of them, but still, he can have anything that he wants. One facility that I visit often bakes cookies, not because the patients can particularly eat them, but the aroma brings comfort to their lives. You know, this is all pretty low-tech stuff. It's stuff that it is what, I think it was Bill who said, the little things in life that bring so much joy and pleasure to us, and it doesn't matter how old or young you are, it's meaningful. Fred, not our Fred, another Fred, said he had nothing in his life anymore. He had nothing to live for. His wife had died. He could no longer walk. He had nothing to do. He missed his very active life. So I asked him, is there anything that you can feel grateful for? And he said, yes. Every morning, in my prayers, I thank God that I'm still alive. And I was puzzled. If you have nothing left to live for, what is it that you are grateful for that you're still alive? So I probed a little bit and asked some questions, and he finally settled on, yeah, I'm really grateful for my daughter. She's a beautiful person. She's a lovely person. She comes to see me. She makes sure I'm well taken care of. And I'm grateful for the facility that I live in and all the activities and that I can have lunch with my friends. And you know, you have to leave here about 2 o'clock because I have to get down to the activity room because they're having wine and cheese and I don't want to be late because I won't get a seat. And I smiled and he smiled and we recognize together that the more we give thanks, the more we get to give thanks for. And it got to watch as he had a transformation by the renewal of his mind. Several patients, many patients, talk about their religious activities as being a force for their well-being, for strength and fulfillment. We talk a lot in hospice about the nature of grief. Ponder what comes next. We talk about the benefits of spiritual practice, of forgiveness and gratitude. I know that for myself, being here every week is my form of renewal. I get to hang out with you folks and listen to the music and the message, and I'm uplifted. Every week I'm uplifted by being here. Nearly all of my patients, the number one thing that they say when I ask what's meaningful in your life, they say family. I mentioned a study a few minutes ago about how you're more likely to have love in your life over the age of 65. And I was reminded of the time when my mother had cancer. This has been many years ago now. My mother was the caretaker of the family, sometimes with an iron fist and sometimes with a velvet glove. But she was in charge, and then she had cancer, and she had to undergo chemotherapy, and she became frail and weak and was really unable to take care of herself. My father worked. He provided. He left the house early in the morning. He came back late at night and had very little interaction with us in between, but he really stepped it up when she got sick. It was a beautiful thing to watch. I saw him put his loving arms of great protection around my mother and do for her and take care of her. He had never been the nurturing sort, but he had it in him. And even after she recovered, Dad still took care of her. He'd set out her vitamins and her supplements, all those things that he thought she needed. Every morning was all set up for her, and he'd go out to the yard and he'd pick an orange from the tree and cut it up for her breakfast. And he always made sure that she had gas in her car. To this day, my mother has never filled up a tank of gas in her car. I really think it renewed their marriage. I read something, and I don't remember even where I got it. Probably was roaming around Facebook or something, but it says, the older you get, the more you realize you have no desire for drama, conflict, or any kind of intensity. You just want a cozy home, a nice book, and a person who knows how you drink your coffee. My late husband used to say that a good day for him was when he sweat a little. No, wait, I got to get this quote right, or he will haunt me in my dreams. When he sweat some, he prayed some, and he loved some. That sounds like a pretty good day to me. Another anonymous quote that I found that I thought was relevant. The only thing that matters is how much you love. In the end, it doesn't matter what your body looks like, how successful your career is, how big your house is, how advanced your yoga practice is, or what your bank account statement says. Let me repeat this. The only thing that matters is how much you love. Your purpose on this earth is to love, and it's a two-way street. We give and we get. The bottom line is that with my patients, with my family, with everyone, the bottom line is love. Back of it all is love, and it doesn't matter what it is that you love, whether it's your children, your dogs, your garden, your books. It doesn't matter what it is that you love. The only thing that matters is that you love. With that, I ask you, what does renewal look like to you? What enables your well-being? What are the elements of your very good day? To be honest, I really don't think I have TMB. I think I have the absolute perfect number of birthdays for me. And my renewal, it is about learning to live, to love more and more each day, day by day by day. Be love, share love, serve love. It's what sustains and fulfills me. It's what grows me and opens me up to receiving more and more of my good. You know what? I think I agree with Betty. Hi, my name is Judy, and I'm 72 years old, and I'm just getting started. Thanks, everyone. Let's turn within and pray.